This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Okay, good. So James, you're busy with James. Last week we spoke about James 1, verse 1 to 18. And it was about, what was the topic? Yeah, well, what did I name it? I can't remember. But anyways, that's not important. There were 3 points to this, to last week's sermon. It was perseverance. Do you remember that? Persevere under trials, okay? And we spoke about God giving us the picture of putting on the breastplate of righteousness, okay? And for us not to take it off in times of trials. Okay, because in times of trials, it gets tough, and we're like, oh, okay, let me just lie here a bit now. Maybe it will go better. Or maybe let me just do that thing quickly. So we're not walking according to God's word anymore. That's when we take off the breastplate of righteousness. And when we do that, then we're vulnerable. Okay, then it's like, boom, 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 I got you. Okay, not that funny or light, but in a serious way. Okay, the second thing we said is ask when you don't know. The Lord said, ask for wisdom. If you're going through a tough time, ask Him. He says He wants to help us and He wants to give us wisdom. So ask. And the last thing we said, that it's easy to go through trials, when you love Jesus. So let's get our focus in loving our King and realize, oh, I'm not alone. Like Paul and all those guys who went through terrible things, because they're like, I love the Lord my God who died for me. And I will stand and I will keep on this breastplate of righteousness. Okay, so all catched up. That was a very quick summary. So this week we're going on and we're going to talk about James 1, 19 to 27. And I called it, hearing is not enough. Okay. So we're first going to read all the verses, and then we'll take it from there. There's 3 points that we're going to discuss again, so it's easy to remember. And maybe I should just mention this also, for those who went here last week. James is the half-brother of Jesus, okay? He was also the head elder of the church in Jerusalem. And when Jesus was still, walking and doing his miracles, he didn't believe in Jesus, okay? Only after Jesus got resurrected from the dead, he was like, that is the Messiah. And I said last week, he introduced himself in the letter as James, the servant of God. He could have said, I am the brother of Jesus. But he said, I am the servant of God. And he's speaking to the churches scattered all around because of persecution. Okay? And it's so interesting, he doesn't hold back. He doesn't say, shame, you're going through a tough time. You know, you don't have to listen to all that things that Paul is saying or that Jesus said. No, no, no. He's like, this is it. This is it. Trials are coming, guys, but it's for your maturity. You know, ask for wisdom. Keep on going. When temptations come, don't submit. It doesn't come from God. You know, block it. And now this part, he's talking about hearing and doing. So let's read it before I give away the whole sermon. Okay, James 1, verse 19. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. The religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Okay, that is a few intense scriptures, but it's something that we sometimes skip over. I've heard of theologians in the olden days that said, no, but James is too, you know, it doesn't speak about Jesus much. If you go read it, Jesus is actually just mentioned twice in the whole book of James. So we're like, no, man, this book doesn't say much. We must go to the Gospels, or we must go to Paul, who's talking about Jesus and Jesus who saved us and all of that. But if you go look at the whole book of James, it's a total reflection of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. It's incredible. Like everything James said, you can go look in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. It is what Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount. He's just saying it in a different way. So we can listen to what God is saying. But the Holy Spirit inspired James to write these things. So what's the first point for this morning? Hear it. Hear it. Okay? Cindy, just show us that next slide quickly. So last week I said to you, when we read the word, don't just read it. Be like, what's standing out here for me? What is God saying? What is it doing? Now here he's saying, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen. Now the previous verse, they speak about, he chose to give us birth through the word of truth. So because he's talking about the word of truth, we know that this verse is talking about the word of truth, which is the Bible. So when he says, be quick to listen, he's saying, guys, when you read the word, when you hear the word, be quick to listen. Be quick to listen. Now I want to ask you today, do you believe that God wants to speak to you? Do you believe that God wants to speak to you? Do you come to God with an expectation to hear from him? Do you know what I realize these days is we just go about and we do the normal Christian thing, but what we forget is that God is a God of relationship. He's a God who speaks to us. He's a God who leads us. He's a God who shows us the way. Now, if you say, be quick to listen, he's saying, come on, listen to my word. Listen. Open your ears. Listen to my word. How do we do that? We're slow to speak. We're slow to speak. Sorry. In other words, when we read the word, we're not like, yuck, I don't understand that, and that pastor said this about this verse, so it mustn't be true. No, shh. You know, slow to speak about what the word is saying. And then sometimes we get to that part that really hits a mark, and we're like, no, no, no. You know, whatever, this cannot be true. Slow to become angry. And how does it go on? It says, because human anger does not produce the righteousness. Remember we spoke about righteousness last week? Human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. This verse has meant so much for me in the last few weeks, months actually. You know, God actually gave this word to me and Derek as a word the last few months, and it saved us in so many circumstances. When God said, be quick to listen. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. What do we know from hearing? God wants to speak to us. Are you worthy to be spoken to? Of course. You are a child of God. He wants to lead you. He wants to show you his ways. Last week I said, okay, God is speaking to us about the breastplate of righteousness. You remember that? In that week, it was confirmed by someone sending me exact the same word. This week, three times, people spoke to me about that. And they didn't even hear the sermon. That means God is speaking to us. Do you agree? Does it just happen by accident that five people get the same word from God? No, it doesn't happen by accident. Can I give you another example how God speaks to us? Through our dreams. Any of you have dreams here? Start asking God, Lord, help me to understand what you're saying, that I can follow. The Lord has given me so many dreams in my lifetime that have directed me exactly where to go. When I was in Rondebosch, I was leading intercession there. In 1 month or little less than a month, there were 4 people who had exactly the same dream. Exactly the same dream. And they don't know each other. It's not like they share dreams or talk after church. You know, it's a bigger church than us. And all of them shared their dreams with me. And I was like, I was so, like, almost, like, nervous because God is speaking. I'm telling you today that God is a God who still speaks to us. Are you expecting to hear from him? What's the first way he speaks to us? Through his word. You know, when I open the Bible in the mornings, I'm like, Lord, speak to me. Speak to me. Speak to me. But this brings us to the second part. We have to see my words that I used there. We have to accept it. We have to accept the word. Does it make sense? Because we can hear the word. You know, I can hear that I have to give my tithing, or I must give, bring my first fruits into the house of the Lord, or I can hear that I must get baptized, right? I can hear these things, or I can hear that God is saying to me, don't speak to your husband like that. Sorry, husband. You know? I can hear it, but I have to accept it. I have to make it part of me. I have to allow it into my heart. Because there's many people in this country, in this world, that hear the word. They actually know it. They can quote it to you. But they never accept it into their hearts. Okay, next scripture. Cindy, thank you. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Which can save you. I can tell you of how I come in the mornings to the Lord and I start reading this thing. And the Lord highlights that thing to me. He literally, this is not part of the sermon, or I didn't plan to say this, but a few years ago, I had the privilege to go and meet Mr. Zuma, okay? And while I didn't want to go, I was just like, they said I must go. I said, no way, so I'm not going. I'm not going. Then I prayed. I said, okay, Lord, if you want me to go, if you want me to go, let them phone me again, the VIP guys or whoever they were. Ugh, it wasn't long and they phoned again. I was like, oh, man. You know, okay, now I have to go. But then I went to read the scripture because when I realized God is now sending me, then I read the scriptures, and it was in the Old Testament, and it was in Exodus, and the verse that highlighted to me was in red. It was literally in red on the page. But God said to me, go, and my peace will go with you. It was in red. Guys, there's no red in the Old Testament. I only realized that afterwards. Okay? Jesus, when you have a Bible where the red is, that is where Jesus speaks, yeah? In the New Testament. So God highlighted his word to me in red. He speaks. He's interested. He knows. If I didn't have that, I don't know what I would do. But I could trust God in what he wanted to do. He opened my eyes in such a way to our parliament and the things happening there because I could visit the president that evening. That for the first time in my life, I started praying for our country like never before. God has a purpose with what he does, and he speaks to us, okay? Now, how do we get to accept the word? We have to get rid of things. You know, like we said last week, you can't be double-minded. We can't say, I'm fighting for my marriage, but at the same time, I'm getting the best lawyer in town. You know, that's double-mindedness. Then you're not trusting God. Then you're not standing in faith for what he has for you, right? That's that double-mindedness again. You can't come with all this evil stuff and like, I'm doing all these things by the side, knowing that that is not right. And at the same time, wanting God to speak, wanting God to lead. No, we have to get rid of those things. You know, when I read this verse, I was reminded of what God spoke to us bit earlier this year saying, put your eyes on Jesus. You remember that? Where we said putting our eyes on Jesus is actually also putting our eyes on the Word, because this is Jesus. And it says in Hebrews 12, so yeah, I think actually it's there somewhere, but I'll read it quickly. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race set before us. Do you see the resemblance? Not the resemblance, what do you call it? Comparison, the sameness. Similarity, that one. Thanks, Justine. Cindy, sorry, you can go back again. So there, it's also saying, throw off all the sinfulness. Throw it off, you know, and humbly accept the Word. Come on, humbly accept it. Why? It can save you. It can save you. One time I was still a student. I was driving from Pretoria to Poch. My grandma was still staying there. I had this little Nissan Bucky. Oh, anyone ever saw those? That was like my student car, okay? And I'm driving, and I'm going 120. It's a nice road. Well, not so nice. They don't have nice roads there. But then it's one lane that way and one lane this way. There's no shoulder, okay? So I'm driving, and I'm like worshiping and singing and whatever. And the next moment, I feel I'm a spray in the Spirit, okay? So now I'm a spray in tongues. Okay, I could choose to listen, to accept it, or be like, it's just my own thoughts, right? I could choose, I could make a choice right there. I was like, okay, I'm not praying tongues. Luckily, I'm a student and I'm just doing everything, okay? I'm checking, okay. So I'm praying in tongues. The next moment, there is a car standing dead still in front of me. It wants to turn to the right. Now remember, there's no shoulder, and there's cars coming from the front. That's why the car is stopping, right? That's how it works there. You can drive 120 where a car can just stop and, you know. To this day, I have no idea how I missed that car. I have no idea. I couldn't go that way. I couldn't go this way. When I opened my eyes, I was past it, and I was going. It can save us, guys. When we accept God's truth in our hearts, it can save us. What is God speaking to you about that you are not accepting at this moment? What is the thing that He is talking about you over and over again that you're keeping there? You're hearing it, you know it, but you're not allowing it to come into your heart. What is that thing? Jesus is saying today, it can save you. Not only can it save you, I want to save you. I want to help you in this circumstance. I want to set you free in whatever you're going through. Don't just keep it there as hearing it. Accept it. Okay? Good. The next verse, 22. Do not merely listen to the word. Okay? So now we listen, we accepted it, and so deceive yourselves. So many times we pray against deception. Did you know you can deceive yourself? It's bad when you get deceived by other people, but when you deceive yourself, huh? That happens when you don't do what you know God is telling you to do. You're deceiving yourself. It says, do what it says. Don't just listen. Don't just accept it. Because we can accept it also. I mean, many people are like, Jesus is the Savior of the world. Do they give their lives to Jesus? No. In other words, they listen, they accept it as the truth. They're like, yes, I believe it. Am I going to give it and follow Him? No, they don't do it. Jesus is saying, don't deceive yourself. Come on, do what it says. Follow the Word. Follow the Word. It can save you. It's saving you all the time. Okay? It goes on. It says, anyone who listens to the Word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Okay, what does that mean? Because the time when this was written, there wasn't really mirrors, okay? It was like steel things where you could barely see yourself, or I imagine you could see in the water. I would be glad for times like that again. I don't know about you. These days, I mean, we know exactly how we look like. I mean, we see it on our selfies all the time. But those times, there wasn't something like that. What he is saying is that when we read the word, it's like a mirror to us. You know, when I read the word is showing me who I am in Christ. Okay? It reflects to me who I am. It also shows me, oops, there's a bit of a dirty mark there. Okay? Like, I don't know, maybe it's just me. Maybe this is a bad example, but I just thought about it. Sometimes I'm so in a hurry in the mornings, quickly, you know, go check in the mirror, go out, and then only the afternoon I see, oh, I had a huge pimple here. Has it happened to you? No. Oh, that's why that guy was just looking at my face, like, didn't know where to look, you know, or whatever. But if we're just quickly going to look here, and not take time for the mirror to show where's my heart at, to show where I am at, when I go, I just forget. I forget what God said I must do. Okay? I don't remember. I'm like, just immediately forget. Because I didn't allow that word to come into my heart, to take root, so that I can do it. Next scripture, Cindy, sorry. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Guys, do you read the word like this? What is highlighted here? Noku? Yes. There's good news in this word. It's not just the word that says, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. Hey, don't do that. No. God is saying, hello, if you look in this, it gives you freedom. It sets you free. There's so many blessings, so many things that God is giving to us. He says, that is going to fall off you. That's going to fall off you. It sets you free. There's some people in our church who are captive. You're captive to your thoughts. You're captive to things happening in your life. And God is saying that the perfect law of God, the Bible, the word of truth, can set you free. Hallelujah. Amen. It sets you free. It only sets you free when you do it. Okay? It doesn't help us just listening. It's the same for coming to church. We can be here every Sunday. Well done. But if we don't go do it, it's not going to help us. It's not going to help us. That one thing God is saying to you, my child, my dear daughter, my dear brother, son. Thanks, Pumla. This is what I want you to do. He's not saying it to you to get at you. He's saying it to you to set you free and for you to be blessed in everything that you do. What is that thing that God is speaking to you about? And if you don't know, ask Him. You know what I do every year? I say to God, Lord, what is your word for me this year? Because, you know, there's many words in this Bible, right? If I today have to start doing everything, I'm going to go crazy, okay? So don't expect of yourself to be perfect now when you decide to do the word, okay? Years ago, I started saying, Lord, give me a word. God said to me, it's more blessed to give than to receive. This is years ago. Do you know how long it took me to get that word going in my life without feeling like, oh, I have to give? Do you know how long I had to work at that? Long. But I kept on going till I got to a point where when I gave, it wasn't a thing like, whoa, look at me, I'm so cool. Or it wasn't a thing like, why aren't they helping me? You know, it's easy to do something, but it's also about the attitude of the heart. God is not just giving us a word, you know, so that He can see if we can do it. No, it's like, where's your heart at? And all of a sudden, when I started doing that word, of course, when I heard the word, I thought, easy peasy, I got this. I can give. I've been giving all my life. It's more blessed to give than to receive. I know this so well. That first time when I had to give, when there was no one else helping and I had to pack the chairs on my own, I was like, sorry me. And God said to me, what's your word? It's more blessed to give than to receive. And it started being part of me. Okay, say you climb up a 10-store building. 10-story. I knew there was a store in there. Okay. 10-story building. And you jump from there. Probably dead, right? Okay. Did you break the law of gravity? No, it still stands. It didn't change. The law of gravity is still there, guys. You're not going to break it by falling off there. What's going to break? You're going to break. Okay? That's what's going to happen. The same with the word. When you break it here, it's not like God's like, oh, no, it doesn't stand anymore, or you broke God's law, or you're better. No, no, no. You get broken. You hurt yourself. You hurt yourself. Remember, that's why God is giving us his word. To help us, to look after us, to protect us, to lead us, to show us the way. Now you might be here and you might have been a Christian for how long, but what is God speaking to you about, and are you doing it? Are you walking in what God is saying to you? Are you accepting the word, and are you walking in it? Okay, Cindy, next one. We've got so much excitement happening here this morning. Those, now remember, now James goes on, he's saying how it looks like when we actually do. So he's giving us examples when we do what the word says. He says, those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves. And their religion is worthless. He's giving us an example. He's saying, don't say that you follow God. Don't say that you are a Christian, you're a believer. But when it comes to your tongue, you cannot control it. You just speak, boom, 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 you know, and things just come out of that. He says, then it's worthless. And he's especially speaking to these guys. Remember, they scattered, they persecuted. He's saying, don't say, no, I'm a Christian, but you just speak whatever you want, you know, and you just get angry when you need to get angry, and you just bash out on someone or whatever. Does it happen to us? It does happen to us, okay? It doesn't say it won't ever happen to you, but it says you have to keep a tight rein on your tongue. Guys, and when it happens to me, when I quickly say to Derek, wah, 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 you know, it doesn't mean now I'm not a Christian anymore. But do I have the ability to say, yo, my love, I'm so sorry, that was my fault. I repent. But you get James's picture. He's saying, don't say that you're religious, but you can't control your tongue. What you are must show. It must show. Okay, the next one. Religion that God, our Father, accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Okay? That's probably one of my favorite verses in the Bible, because it talks about the orphans. It talks about taking care of those who can't take care of themselves. And when I look at the word and when I read the word, I see that's God. He's for the helpless. He's for those who can't care for themselves. You know, it's not like God's coming and he just wants to hang with certain people. You know, the next part in James, which will happen not next week or the week after that. Get this. James is coming to us. It's not the same James, just so that you don't get too excited, okay? But James is coming to us. He will be preaching next week and the week after that. We have 2 weeks of James Pringle, okay? That is amazing, okay? He's coming, and he said because he wants to serve, because he wants to bless us, okay? So great. Okay, I can't wait to hear from him. I'm sure he will have a word from the Lord. And you know, I want to hear those words. What is God saying so that we can move and act on what he is saying? Okay, but after that, now remember, after James, we're going on with James. Now it's very confusing. But after that, then we're going to speak about James 2. And what is it about? Favoritism. It's about thinking that we're better than others or treating some people better than others or whatever. And God is saying, no. I'm interested in those who can't look after themselves. I'm interested in the orphans. And that is pure and undefiled religion, it says in another translation. But what, and then it says, keep oneself being polluted from the world. So again, reminds me of the breastplate of righteousness. Keep those worldly things out. Keep those worldly thoughts out. But just listen to this. When you sum this up, it actually says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul. Okay? Because then you keep yourself polluted from the world. And love your neighbor as yourself. Because you're taking care of others around you. God always brings his words together. He always confirms his words. He always does it. He is faithful like that. Okay, guys? So remember, for us to walk in what God has given us is to love God with all our hearts. To love God with all our hearts. Are we going to fail? Yes. Do we have a Holy Spirit who helps us? Yes. Must we ask him to help us? Yes. When was it? Somewhere this week. I don't know what happened. And the next moment, it's like Gosh is saying to me, hello, ask me, I'm here. I'm just trying to figure this thing out on my own. God's like, no, I want to help you. Talk to me. Okay, next slide. I told you that Jesus' Sermon on the Mount is the same as this. Okay, James. The last few verses in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says the following. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, Jesus is speaking, okay? So this is read in the Bible, New Testament. Hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. In other words, actually doing what I'm saying to you is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. We sang it this morning, eh? You're my firm foundation, Jesus. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. I know this is like old news, or, you know, we all know this or whatever, but guys, I'm going to tell you today, God is saying, listen. Listen. Accept the word and do it. Do it. Walk in what God is telling you to do. Okay? I'm telling you, this is amazing. You're all still concentrating. Okay? I've got. This is awesome. I love this. Okay? Then last slide. Not the last slide. There's another one. Okay. Stand firm then. Like I said to you guys, in the last 2 weeks, 5 people got the same word of us having to put on the armor of God. 5 people in our church, guys. That's like, what, a fifth, a six, a fourth. I don't know. That's a lot, okay? Like, that's a lot. And that means that God is speaking to us. He's interested in us. I'm like, Lord, really? You care. Like you have us, like you have a word for us. And he's saying, stand firm. It's so beautiful for me. Okay, if you read the whole thing, you'll get the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness and the belt of truth and the spirit, the sword of the spirit and the faith, shield and the readiness gospel thingy, okay? Just go read it. But what I actually want to read to you, what I'm just thinking about, it ends off like this. He says, and pray. Okay? So he just told us, stand firm and have all the plates and things on. It doesn't stop there. He says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Ephesians 6:18. And pray on all occasions with all kinds of prayers, meaning doesn't matter, declarations, singing, worship. I, for one, think that preaching is also a type of praying because you're declaring, you're speaking life into dark situations. And request, with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. I believe God's saying to us, guys, pray. Pray, pray, pray. And I love this because I can already see God stirring in our hearts to pray. He's saying, come, let's pray. Let's pray. Doesn't matter where we are at. Doesn't matter what we are doing. We will pray. We will pray for God's will. We will pray for what He wants to do. When was it? 2 weeks ago, Tenji was like, guys, we need to pray. She was like, this situation, there was some other situation. She called us. She said, come on, Derek. Stop being lazy. You know, she rebuked us like that. And and then that evening, we were there and we were praying for a situation. And then she said to us, right, guess what? Tomorrow we're praying again. Yeah, early morning, we're again praying. And again we prayed. That is what God is calling us to. Okay? Yes, we're going to pray for each other and we're going to stand in the gap and we're going to fight for what God wants. But yes, we're also going to pray for this lost world out there. There's many people in Durban. I know there's many churches also, but there's many people in Durban. And they don't know God. I walked in the mall yesterday again. I'm like, Lord, there's so many people. And there's so many people who don't know you. So I believe God is calling us to start praying. You know, and prayer is not a difficult thing. Because we can all talk, right? It's not a difficult thing. We can all talk. God is not expecting us to have the grand words and have it all together. And so I know He's just calling us to come and to pray. This morning while we were having intercession, I said to the girls, you know, when we pray, it looks boring, right? Who's ever been to a prayer meeting and be like, that was the most boring thing I've ever been to? Huh? We don't have honest people here. Okay, it's fine. Okay? We just stand there praying. I don't know. I get very excited in a prayer meeting because when God starts speaking and He shows us things and I'm like, oh, and we follow and it's amazing. So we're praying this morning. I saw this picture of people praying. It looks very boring and so on. But then in the spirit, it's people who have the full armor on of God and they are fighting. Huh? Doesn't that get you excited? Maybe that's why I like war movies. You know, because we're going there. Like, God is doing stuff. He is working. He's talking to us. Now, guys, if we don't hear and we don't accept, we can't do. We need to hear and we need the spirit, you know, the sword that we fight with so that we can go and pray in what God wants us to do. Okay? Do you all agree with me? Yes. Amen. Okay. So, let's close our eyes.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.